Institute.
Would you like to come and stall it?
Ah, will you just stall it, look?
I'd like to come and stall it.
I'm not really in the mood.
Well, come on and bleed and stall it.
Yeah, house hatcher.
I'm not a house hatcher.
We'll stall it for a crack. We're gonna have a laugh.
How are you doing? Welcome to hello?
152.
How are you keeping?
How are you?
152.
Are you okay?
Grand now, actually.
Good.
Perfect.
He's back in the room.
Just need a sip of water.
How are you keeping?
Sound.
You're looking well.
Am I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you losing a bit?
I think so.
Good. Are you weighing yourself on the reg?
In the ankles. It's around the ankles there.
It's a lot.
That's where the weight, yeah. You must have only lost around the ankles, did you? Because still a big unit.
Don't put yourself down like
that. I think it's the choice of clothes, like brighter colours or something.
Yeah.
Not used to that. It's more just the blacks and you're like in black again. Now he's wearing a
mustard. Arashta. Orange. I just said mustard, but hey, on colour point.
Mustard and arashta.
It probably was orange, was it?
Was orange, yeah.
Hot wash.
Spilled a load of Fanta all over myself.
And yeah. That's some jacket to be wearing in this weather.
It's really light.
Is it?
It's like there's nothing in it at all. Like, look, very thin.
It is. It is. It's like a rain jacket.
Yeah, a little windbreaker.
Yeah. But there's no wind.
Because I broke the wind.
Say it.
Windbreaker.
I thought I could smell
something. Call me the windbreaker. Because I break the wind, bro. What's happening?
My gym membership is up.
Right.
So instead of like renewing the membership, I just downloaded the boxing game for the PSVR 2. And I was playing it last night and I was fucking sweating when I took it off. My gym membership is up. I didn't download the game for exercise.
Just had it.
I just downloaded it for the crack and then I was playing it and I was sweating.
And then afterwards you were like, I'm not renewing that gym membership.
Fuck that.
Boxer size in the sitting room.
I've never sweat as much in the whole time I've been going to the gym, I've never sweat as much as this. So, some cardio. Boxing them, I don't know what they call avatars.
Is it?
Well, it's like avatars are Rocky and stuff, so you're fighting Rocky and Apollo Creed.
Oh, it's a Rocky game, is it?
Yeah, it's Creed.
Do you have to pay for it or is it a free one?
Paid for it, yeah.
50?
30 quid?
Not bad, on sale, yeah. All PlayStation Plus.
No, the VR2 games are cheap because no one has the VR2, like.
Yeah. So
the games are cheap enough.
We have them.
Well, we have them, yeah. They're available, anyone can get one. This is not an ad, by the way.
It's actually not.
No affiliation.
You can get them like that there.
Yeah.
Would be a good library, though. You would have sold it very well there, actually.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a good thing. If you want to play a game and you end up fucking sweating buckets.
Is it a fitness game, do you think?
I mean, it's boxing.
By the way, the Wii Fit.
I guess, yeah. It is. It is a bit. And you're playing real people, like, so there's somebody
online,
else.
Like, you're fighting someone that's Ivan Drago.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's deadly.
I'd say it'd be kind of weird if someone was really good at it.
I feel like I'm really good at it.
Are you?
But then you don't know who's at the other. You don't know who's inside Ivan Drago. It could be like a 4-year-old.
Yeah, you're just boxing the head off a kid.
There was one time where I was fighting someone and he was like halfway down the ring. He was like, his legs were inside the ring.
Right.
So, because he must have been really small. It was probably a kid. And I was boxing the head off him. Knocked him out in the first round, the poor fucker. But it's deadly, man. I love it. I'm addicted.
Are you?
I kind of, you know when you play a game for so long that you feel like the real world is similar to the game?
Yeah, like, and you start boxing people outside and that.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to just be like, boom. And then I'll see stars go around their eyes and everything.
And you're in court and you're like, I thought it was Ivan Drago.
And then you box the judge.
Because he looks like Apollo Creed.
Yeah, yeah. And it's all just a game. Even when you're in jail then, you're trying to escape.
It's a big game of virtual Rocky.
Yeah, exactly. You're just boxing people in jail then. And you're like, one of these days I'll take the headset off. But sure, life is virtual reality anyway. We're all in a simulation.
So do you say.
Who says that?
Some people. You. So you say.
So what you say. Yeah.
Do you get me?
Mm-hmm. You in the gym?
I'm in the virtual gym in the gaff.
This is unbelievable stuff.
It's like when you play the Grand Theft Auto 5 and you're in the car and you feel like you can drive up on the path.
Yeah.
Because you've been playing the game for so long.
Or get a jetpack.
Yeah. Or you think you can cross a ball because you've been playing FIFA? You can't.
That happens with me with FIFA. Like, I think I have the skill of what I have on FIFA, and I go out and just fall over the ball. Bollocks! No opening packs here. Welcome to the real world, Daz, where you aren't Ronaldo.
Would you like to live in a game? If you could choose a game to live in, what game would it be?
The Simpsons Hit and Run.
Oh, would that be a good one?
Oh, and I tell you, you were a fan of The Simpsons Hit and Run, were you?
No. What? Did you play it?
I feel like you're not a fan of games.
I am.
Are you? Have you got a PlayStation?
Not anymore, no.
You just grew up.
No, I realise I wouldn't have the hours in the day.
True.
If I still have them.
You've so PlayStation to and your time than that.
Yeah, PlayStation and Football Manager is another one that had to go.
Were you big into that?
I was.
I never got into Football Manager.
Yeah. I could lose weeks. Not quite weeks, but yeah, not far off it.
How did that work, like Football Manager?
You manage the team.
And you get a budget and stuff?
Yeah.
Nice.
Very complex. That's why it's so addictive.
Did you play that?
Football Manager? No. I don't like playing games where you don't actually play the fucking game. Mm. I hate that shit. What's it like, RPG? No, RPG is good. Like
RPG is... Is that guns?
No.
Same idea as an RPG. You set it up and send them into battle or whatever.
Yeah, it's not for me. That's not for me.
Same as an RPG, though.
It was like that Farmville.
Farmville, yeah.
Do you remember that? I never really got into
it. I think it was a little more complex than Farmville.
It was like setting up other people to do the work and there was no enjoyment in it. Imagine playing a football game and not playing football. So fucking weird. That's like playing a snooker game and being the referee. You just won. Like, that's terrible. This is a terrible game. I don't like this game. I never understood it.
Referee 25. That'd be a good game. Just like FIFA, but you're just a ref dishing out the cards.
Did you ever play the GAA game?
Oh, Jesus, no. I think I did, actually. That's gone way back.
That's way back, yeah. That's like PlayStation 1, is it?
Two. Yeah. And then he had like these games where it was like Man United Club Football, Chelsea Club Football. Do you remember it was all like Real Club Football?
No.
It was like the exact same game, but the jerseys and the crest on the front were different. And all the players looked the same.
I love it, the way all the crowds look the same and they all just do the same movements.
Yeah, looks like that.
Yeah. With SmackDown, do you remember SmackDown? The SmackDown game, you could like personalise the cards that they were waving up and down, but you can only pick like a variation of two.
Yeah.
So every card.
Whatever they had, like you just use that. Mad, you'd be typing mad shit on that. Like any smokes.
Sex is cool.
Half will stop. I just go, what are we all doing? And if I want the stormtroopers across the line, it's going to be an extra few bob. And I'd gladly take a loan out for that. Do you know what I was afraid of when I was a kid?
Tell me.
The ice cream van.
You were afraid of the ice cream van?
Only messing now. Butterflies.
That's equally as...
Worse, that's probably worse.
Why were you afraid of butterflies?
Having a brace. I really don't know, but they just freaked me out. I think it was like the design of them or something, or the patterns on their wings.
They're very, very pretty.
They're pretty, but like disgusting. Because they like, when you don't look at the wings and look at their body, it's like a horrible, ugh, weird thing.
It's a caterpillar.
A caterpillar, like, yeah. That kind of freaked me out. So butterflies, they never really bother you, but like, do you know if one was like beside you, I'd be fucking panicking the fuck.
You're not getting mistaken for a moth, are you?
Them as well, aren't they like that?
They'd freak me out. Look, yeah. They're very hairy.
Yeah.
Hairy, ugly butterflies.
Do you know there's giant moths?
Like
really big ones.
How big are you talking?
Like the size of your phone.
That's horrible.
Like three times the size of that.
That's like not the size of your phone. That's the size of three phones.
The size of three iPhones.
So like a tablet or something? Small tablet?
Big tablet.
Fucking hell.
Google a giant moth. Seen it before. Not in Ireland though.
That's nightmare fuel. Big giant fucking moth. Mm-hmm. Is a moth like a caterpillar that turns into... Is a moth just an ugly butterfly?
They're neglected butterflies.
Are they?
Probably.
Like a gigna. The gigna, the butterfly. The butterfly world.
The largest moth in North America is the Cecropia moth. And
it's huge, is it? As far as moths go.
That picture there?
As far as moths go, yeah. 5 to 7 inches wingspan.
About three iPhones.
Yeah.
See that?
Do you have a picture of it there?
Isn't that creepy?
Imagine seeing that in your bedroom.
And you'd hear it. You'd hear the fucking wings, like.
It'd be reckoned like a flapping around.
Them bleeding.
You couldn't stand that. If you stood on that, you'd just take off.
It's the size of a hand.
Yeah. It's like a koi.
It's disgusting.
It's the body of it. The body is
the
like
body,
a...
It's what I'm saying about butterflies. It's the body is that... It's horrible.
The body is like a big old Sky digital remote. Big lumpy old... Play games on it and all. You could stick a leash on that.
Little beehive bedlam.
That's that. Horrible. 40 little fucker.
And hornets as well are fucking horrible.
They're just wasps, no?
But huge.
Big fuckers.
They're big things. Don't like them.
What about blue bottles? Did you like blue bottles?
Love them.
Did you?
Like, what's up? Chill there if you want.
Did you ever catch blue bottles? Yeah. I used to stick flowers in the bottom of a bottle and then...
Catch wasps?
You'd catch, well, the blue bottles, man.
Blue bottles?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
We used to catch bees.
This reminds me of summer. It is summery, isn't it?
Chat.
It's real summer chat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't catch blue bottles anytime.
No, I never caught them. They wouldn't be going into bottles, would they?
That feels very grim.
That's why they were called blue bottles, because you put them in a bottle.
I thought they were... What's the difference between a blue bottle and
Don't tell me you started shaking it and all, did you?
Oh, yeah. You'd hear it knocking around and all. Bop, 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 bop. You'd have to get a Lucozade bottle because they'd have the wide top, squeeze them in there.
Yeah.
Fucking monstrosities. I don't know why we did that. That was it. Was it? Yeah. Not easy. You'd put holes in the cork though. Be grand.
Grand. Oh yeah, on the top. Yeah, yeah.
Ear hole. I'm not a complete sick bastard.
No.
Not a complete psycho.
That would have been a recipe for a serial killer.
That's how they start.
Starting off killing, bleeding, putting blue bottles in bottles.
Did you ever pull the wing off a fly?
Never, Joe.
You're a lying bat. Why do people lie about this shit?
If I pulled the wing off a fly, I'd tell you.
You never pulled the wing off a fly?
No. I'd tell you if I did, though.
And you never pulled the wing off a fly?
No. First of all, how would you even...
Do it?
Yeah.
It's a bit tedious, like. What do you call a fly with no wings?
Yeah, okay.
There we go.
A walk.
Thanks, Flo.
No worries.
Maybe us catching bees and wasps in Lucozade bottles... Maybe that's what fucked up the environment. Maybe we fucked up the environment.
We let them go. You'd open it and then throw it there and leg it.
Yeah. They'd be traumatised.
Get a chase. Because they come out and the first thing a wasp is going to go up you.
They go after you.
Oh yeah, chase you back to the gaff. Ma! Banging the door down. Big beehive chasing you down the road.
I've never been stung by a wasp. And
really?
Yeah.
No.
I haven't seen many wasps.
I was about to say, I feel like there used to be a lot more wasps.
There was many, many more wasps than there is. In the 90s, there was more wasps than there is today.
Is that because there was more sweets?
Is that because we're not looking for them?
No, there are less insects out there.
Like a lot less,
yeah.
Why is that?
We're in the middle of a mass extinction event.
Of wasps?
Of all sorts of insects being wiped out, yeah.
Cause?
Because there's less habitat for them to live in. We're using more chemicals. Well, basically, human society is... putting stuff where they used to live and also using lots of stuff that kills them. So they're being wiped out.
Ah, but we didn't live in the fucking wilderness that we live. I remember being in Mosny and there used to be just like...
Hundreds and...
Oh, yeah.
Thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Everywhere. And they'd be chasing
like you.
You
knew they were
going
to be... Like, you used to have to fucking prepare your day knowing that there's going to be wasps. And now it's like, I haven't seen one.
No.
Not one wasp, like.
No.
That's I had three bizarre. In my house in the last day.
Have
really?
You?
I don't know where they're coming from.
They're probably the same wasps that you tried to kill years ago.
Maybe.
You can't get rid of a bee's nest. It's against the law to get rid of a bee's nest if it's attached to your gaff.
You have to get someone out?
You have to leave it there.
In general, like just leave it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
No, I think you can get someone out and they do it for free.
Duty?
They do it for free, yeah. Bees, but they'll safely transport it away.
Don't mind bees.
Why? They sting you as well.
Ah, no, bees are...
They're fucking chill.
Ah, they're little pricks.
They avoid you. None of them ever bothered me.
I couldn't tell you the difference if you put one beside the other.
A bee and a wasp.
What's the big fat ones?
A bee.
You can't tell the difference between a bee and a wasp.
No.
Fuck off.
They're about the same.
Hang on.
The bee is the big one you're talking
That's
about.
That's one of the most remarkable things you've ever said.
It's a blue bottle. I thought that was a blue bottle.
A blue bottle's a fly.
And what's a fly then?
A fly.
But a blue bottle's a big fat thing. Big fat fly.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
How did he get so fat?
That's not the question.
A different type of fly, is
he
it?
He doesn't know what...
Blue bottle is just a different type of fly.
Yeah.
Yes,
one of the many types of flies.
So we have a house fly, the standard house fly.
I think
that goes buzzing.
Bottle. Yeah.
What about the ones that land, just keep landing on your fucking leg? You ever see them?
I don't think that's species specific.
No, they're called, they keep landing on me leg flies.
Frank would look like a fly. Frank kind of
had a big blue bottle.
Big blue bottle, yeah.
Yeah. Going like, around bleeding, hovering over shy.
Imagine he had wings now.
Oh, that'd be horrible, man.
And he was buzzing around the gaff. And he had like little skinny legs.
I'd shit myself. I would shit myself the fuck.
The black pug. Imagine he just went into a cocoon and then he came out and he had big butterfly wings.
I think we got listener questioning about if a dog had wings in your gaff or something like that, and we talked about that, remember?
Probably, yeah.
Creepy. That'd be horrible.
It would be nasty, yeah. The noise of it. Bzz. Is it true that flies see in slow motion and that's why you can't hit them? Did you ever try to smack a fly? Very hard to get them.
To get them from behind.
Because...
on the hole. Boom.
The smaller you are...
Yep.
Times... Right. They see in slow motion.
Yeah, the... A lot. Some insects do this, and it's related to the size of the animal and their metabolism. But anyway, yeah, you're right.
How do we know?
The way they process the information. Obviously, they don't actually see it in slow motion. But
how do we know that?
It's to do with the smaller they are.
Time works differently for them.
Much like if you're a kid, a week feels like a year.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
If you're a fly, the distance between me and you feels like miles. So they'll see you coming miles away.
That's like time travel shit.
I guess so.
That's mad. Like, you just think, like, that's that. That is just that. Like,
loads of eyes, do they?
I think so,
no,
yeah.
No, it's like separated. You know when you see in like films or like documentaries, it's like...
Big balls.
Loads of balls. Yeah. It's probably just the like two eyes, but like whatever way that's broken up, it's like...
Yeah.
See like the whole room, like, do you know that way?
The horrible.
Disgusting.
Eating shite. What are you eating shite? What are you eating shite for?
Can you Google why they like start fucking smelling shite and all landing on it?
One in five insect species in Ireland is in decline.
One in five?
One in 20 or thereabouts has gone extinct in the last, I think, 20 years.
Is there any insects?
I'm on the fly here. On the fly here. Bees. There's 2,000 species of bees and Joe can't recognise any of them.
Well, there's fucking 2,000 of them. I'm sure one of them looks like the wasp. They all look the fucking same.
The bees and the wasp are very, you can separate them.
Oh, if I can, what about a hornet? Could you separate a hornet and a wasp?
Darren, yeah, you'll be relieved.
They're like that size, hornets.
Yeah, hornets are big. You'll be relieved
Wax
to know,
them
Darren.
Are like huge. Like, what?
You'll be relieved to know there's 40% less butterflies in this country than there was in 1990.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Well, not brilliant, but brilliant for me.
40%?
Yeah, it's bad.
There's a lot of fucking insects I haven't seen in years. Like, this year alone, I haven't seen about one butterfly.
Bumblebees have dropped by almost by 17% in the last 10 years or so.
Is there any insect that's just completely gone since the 90s?
But even in general, what's in the general, last animal that went extinct?
Like a common insect that you would have seen.
There are two species of bees that are extinct in Ireland. There are 8 species of beetles, 14 species of moths, and 1 species of butterfly. That is extinct here. They're not extinct around the world, but just here.
Yeah. Do you remember them garden spiders you used to see as well? And they'd be in between like plants or trees. And when I was a kid, you used to just walk by a gaff like and you'd look in, it'd just be like a cobweb with like a spider on it. But it was like a garden spider and they were like fucking zebra coloured, like, or not zebra, like a leopard.
A leopard spots? Leopards, like,
yeah. But they were horrible to look at. The texture of them. I haven't seen one of them in years either.
I'm not familiar now with what you're talking about.
I know.
No.
I'll get it up on Google. One of them.
You see, I wouldn't notice that if I didn't see it. Like, that just looks like any old spider to me. Yeah. Spider.
You still always see them in gardens.
Give us a look.
Oh, why did I even fucking Google that?
Why?
Just mad up close and all and scaly looking.
I have something for you. An interesting story.
Story time.
Mm-hmm.
Is it about Finglas?
No, thankfully.
Okay.
1933. The Bronx. Donegal man named Michael Malloy. He is a former firefighter with the New York Fire Department. He was a homeless man. And the police have dug up his grave to take his body to be examined for the cause of death. He was known as Mike the Durable. And The police had dug him up because they were suspicious about what happened to him. At first they thought it was pneumonia, which was written on his death certificate, but they found out he had actually died of gas poisoning. And the reason they were so suspicious is because this was the sixth attempt to kill this man.
Ooh.
Mm. Right, so this is the story of the man they called Rasputin of the Bronx. Do you know who Rasputin is? Did you ever hear that story?
I know the song.
So Rasputin was basically this advisor to a king in the Tsar in Russia. And they attempted to kill him many, many times. The legend is he just couldn't be killed. Eventually they did, but it took a long time. Right, so we'll start off here. Rasputin of the Bronx. His name is Michael Malloy. Born in Donegal in 1873. When he was 20, headed off to America. Settled in the Bronx in New York. Started working for the New York City Fire Department. But he was fond of the old drink. He would leave the fire department. Started working in factories. He worked on industrial machines. He kind of got on okay with it. But in 1920, there was the Wall Street crash. And the Great Depression started. And literally within a few hours of the crash, he was released from his job. So then he's bored. He's already an alcoholic. And that spirals and it gets much, much worse. At the time he moved to America, from 1920 to 1933, it was the Prohibition era. So there was a ban on making, importing, transporting or selling any alcohol.
The gargle.
Mm. Within about 5 years of the law being passed, like, everyone still wanted to drink. It wasn't working. So the bootleggers started making their own alcohol.
Like COVID.
Kind of.
Just not because like you couldn't get drink.
Yeah.
Well, you could, but like...
So...
It's not really like COVID.
So the people who are making the drink, there's like homemade, industrial made, like whatever. It's the
bat gin.
Absolutely anything went into it. Massive alcohol percentage, like rocket fuel.
Like a Long Island iced tea.
Like hooch.
Hooch, exactly.
Hooch.
And if you got to your speakeasy and said, you didn't get to say, oh, what you have, what's available, like they'd just say, we have this, would you like it or not? And if it's pain stripper, that's your choice. But you haven't got many options here because it's all illegal. And obviously this is basically just carnage. Speakeasies popped up all over America selling these illegal, unregulated drinks. So our man Mike, he occasionally gets some work around the docks, doing a bit of labouring, but he always spends it on the drink. He went to a place called The Mermaid in the Bronx. That was his speakeasy. It was owned by an Italian man called Tony Marino. He was 27, and it was in the back of an abandoned hardware store. In the back of the hardware shop is the speakeasy. Mike would work there sometimes. They'd give him a few drinks if he did a few odd jobs around the place. But basically, this place was a complete kip. And your man Tony, who ran it, he didn't actually work there. But there was an Irishman, 28-year-old fella, called Joseph Red Murphy, who ran it. He was also an alcoholic. And Tony, the owner, would let him sleep behind the bar. And he basically said, you can sleep here and you can drink as much as you want if you run it for me.
It's a good deal.
So one day, Tony, the owner, comes in and says to Red, the Irish alcoholic barman, he says, were you aware that you can take out a life insurance policy on anybody? So like you could take one out on Joe, and if Joe dies, you get the money. This seems very lax policy, you'd imagine, at the time.
Mm.
A bit open to abuse. So they said to themselves, what if one of our customers was to die? You know, a policy on them, we would make a lot of money. So Red, the Irish fella, he says, yeah, I'm in.
Seems like a racist nickname.
Red Murphy? I don't know. So they say, yeah, I'm in. They get two more friends, Francis Pasqua and Daniel Kreisberg. They join in too. There was a young homeless woman called Mabel Carlson who drank in the bar. Now, the person who you're getting the life insurance policy on, they have to agree. They have to sign the documents too. So Mabel's in the bar. She's very drunk. And they handle the form, the four of them, and say, oh, do you want to sign this? We'll give you a few more drinks. Obviously, she does. Then on Paddy's Day, 1932, Mabel passes out from the drink. They take her to an upstairs bedroom, strip her, cover her in ice-cold water, and put her in a bed next to the wide-open window. She died from
pneumonia.
Yep. And Tony Marino, the owner of the bar, he gets $2,000, which A lot of money in those days.
Nice. What did he get that for?
Because he had the life insurance policy on Mabel. Mabel had signed it while she was pissed. They killed her.
This is dark, Owen. This is darker than I thought. I thought it was going to be a nice, fun story.
No, this is pretty dark stuff.
Shit.
Like something to do with someone flying a plane. Remember that one?
Yeah, remember that one in New York? New York was crazy.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah. That was a bit more, yeah. The following year, they decide, let's give this another go. And our man Mike from Donegal.
Red?
No, Red is the barman.
Ah, okay.
Mike is...
Mike Malloy,
yeah. So Mike is from Donegal. And he's drinking in the bar. And Tony, the owner, says, right, we'll do it again. And this time, we'll go for Mike. So he tells Red, you become friends with Mike there. And, you know, they'd start giving Mike more free drinks and this kind of thing, getting really friendly. And then, while Mike is very pissed, Tony and the rest of them do the same trick. They convince him to sign the insurance forms. And they decide, let's not make this too suspicious. Let's let a little bit of time go past here. So they do nothing. And then on the day they decide to do it, they all basically crowd around Mike and getting all the drinks in, making sure he's getting good and pissed. And actually, they were surprised how long it was taking. Mike was putting away a lot of drink.
It's the Irish in him.
It wasn't like Mabel. They ran out of patience. And one of them grabs him by the chin, pushes his head back, and actually put the drink down his throat, basically. And just, this stuff is probably like turpentine. Anyway, Mike eventually passes out, falls onto the floor. They grab him by the ankles, drag him out into the snow, and just leave him there to die. So it's following morning. Red, barman, he goes out the front and Mike is gone. He thinks, brilliant. Because at the time, people would die on the streets and the city workers would remove them in the morning. And
I feel like there's better ways to kill people.
Well, it's not, but this way, like, there's no suspicion that it was murder if they do it this way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Obviously, the insurance company could be like, why do people keep getting stabbed or shot or whatever?
Yeah, that's fair enough, yeah.
Drunks keep dying in the cold. That makes more sense. So Tony and the rest of the crew come in and there's Red, the barman. He's going, lads, it worked again. Here we go. So they're having a few celebration drinks, toasting their success.
He walks in.
Yeah.
No, why would you go back? Why would you go back?
What, just leave me in the snow for, lads?
Well, that's what he says. He said to them was, oh, it was a heavy night. I woke up out in the snow.
Jesus Christ.
That's attempt number one. So
I'm back because he's getting free gargle.
So they said, fuck this, we're doing this now. Come on. So they start drinking again with them into the early hours and they're getting pissed off like this fella is just not falling asleep. They start putting antifreeze into his drinks to poison him.
Fucking hell.
He starts to get sick.
Put that antifreeze in me.
He gets sick, he passes out. They drag him out into the snow again.
It's a good thing they put on antifreeze.
The following morning, Red goes out. Mike is gone again. And he goes, right, it definitely worked this time. They all show up in the bar again. They go, look, whatever about the first night. Like last night, he was full of antifreeze. He's definitely dead. So they start toasting their success.
How is? What's the story?
In walks Mike.
Why go back? Like, it's not even that they're not killing him. Like, they're not even hospitalising him. The fucker's just walking back in.
They just have him so drunk he just doesn't remember.
Jesus.
What happened? Then he's just like, same again there. Mm.
So at this point they say, well, we just shoot him. And they look at the policy and they go, no, actually that would not work. It has to be an accident, you know. They're very clear. This would be covered. So they start drinking again. And Tony Marino, the owner, he just goes around finding anything he can to put in Mike's drinks. Any kind of poison. He starts off with turpentine. Then he puts in horse liniment.
Like dewormer or something?
Ketamine.
They rub it on a horse's skin to reduce like inflammation and whatever. So
like
don't drink it, I guess.
E45 cream. It's not like that.
So they did the turpentine, they did the horse E45 cream, and then they went for rat poison. So Mike passes out earlier than usual this time. And it's a bit too early to leave him outside. It would look suspicious. People would see it's too early in the evening. So they're like, just leave him there. and we'll throw them out in a while. So while they're waiting for the streets to clear out a bit, Mike wakes up.
This fella is built different, isn't he?
So Mike's asking for a drink. So Tony, the owner, just starts handing him methanol. Just pure methanol, which is...
He's costing them a fortune.
Methanol is basically just pure alcohol, yeah.
Spirits, like...
Very, very bad for you. It will kill you.
It's just giving them white spirits.
What they didn't realise...
That's what he did.
White spirits. Now, what they didn't realise, all the poisons they were giving him, when they mixed in his stomach, they were basically cancelling each other out.
All right. Fucking idiots.
All of the poisons in the stomach, mixing around. You say fucking idiots. You wouldn't know.
No, I wouldn't. I just thought he had a really good fucking liver.
Mad.
So they throw him out. This time they cover him in cold water, just to be extra sure. Throw him out in the snow. His body's gone again the following morning. They come back to the pub, expecting him to walk in, but he doesn't this time. A few days go past, no sign of him. So they start to go, finally, at last. So they start the paperwork to get the payments on Mike. They registered him as missing. So formally, they start the paperwork, they go and they report that he's missing and all this. They're like, right, that's it. Hadn't seen him in ages. A few days anyway. So they're having a few drinks to celebrate.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
In a good way. I'm glad he's alive.
And in he walks.
At this point.
Yeah. He says, lads, I haven't been here because I've been getting sick the last few nights. I've never had a hangover like it.
Jesus Christ. It sounds like a setup to a joke.
Yeah.
I feel like he fucking knows what's happening. He's just like, few points for nothing.
Yeah, keep feeding me free drink.
Right, so they decide the drink isn't going to work on Mike. So what else can we do?
Food.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know
how to kill a man.
So they get him drunk to dull his sense of taste and smell. Then what they decide to give him is gone off raw oysters that have been...
For fuck's sake.
Then
I'll just give you the trots.
It gets worse. They gave him a sandwich of bad sardines, which in itself, that's probably awful, but they also put nails in the sandwich. Carpet nails.
Some who put the nail in the mackerel.
So Mike gets sick, walks out of the bar.
Might have been coughing up nails last night, lads.
Yeah, they were again,
shite
same thing.
Nails.
They were like, that's definitely done him. He walks in again the next day. So they do the same thing, get him drunk, cover him in ice water, throw him in the snow in the nip. And then a few days later, they see him walking around the area.
He is a machine.
Yeah. So he's back in the pub. A taxi was waiting outside. And as Mike goes to leave, the lads had set this up with the taxi driver. They gave the taxi the signal. Taxi driver drives along at 45 miles an hour, hits Mike intentionally, throws him up in the air. Lands on the road.
Did you say intentionally?
Yeah.
Who did?
They had recruited a taxi driver now to join in. So Mike's on the road, lying there, broken bones, bleeding heavily. Crowd gathers around him. He's lying there motionless. Police get there. The ambulance get there. He's taken away. 3 weeks pass. They haven't heard anything. So they start filling out the paperwork again for the policy. A few days go by. Tony gets a letter in the post and it says, I'm sorry, we can't pay out on this because Mike is in hospital and he's recovering from his injuries. Mike leaves hospital. Tony invites him into the bar to celebrate his miraculous recovery. So Mike passes out. They're really, like, I don't know why they didn't just go for someone else at this stage. Why, like,
yeah,
surely there were other soft touches coming into this place.
It's principle at this stage. It's not even about the money anymore. We have to fucking kill this fucker. Like a cockroach.
This plan is much less subtle. So they basically bring him to a bedroom, force a hose down his throat, and it's connected to a coal gas jet. So there's gas coming through the hose. That kills him. So,
like blow him up like a balloon or something? What do you mean?
Basically, he's passed out and they put a hose with gas down his throat and they kill him that way.
So, oh my God.
He couldn't. Yep. So, they were so worried about him coming back to life, they actually bound his hands and legs, blindfolded him, and then buried him, thinking he might still be alive. these people are like
say fucked.
They went to a local doctor and they forced the doctor to sign the death certificate, which they sent to the insurance company. Like, they've even their own original plan is nothing like this. But then the local Irish community, homeless Irish people in the area, they would all know each other and they knew Mike and all this, and they started asking the police, did they know anything about where Mike had gone? They thought he must have been arrested or something like that. But Mike had been telling a lot of the other Irish in the area about going to this bar and the things that had been happening to him while he was there. And some people obviously found this strange and they told the police. So they had told the police all the places, you know, like, Mike had been saying he was waking up in all these weird places and all the drinks he was getting were tasting very funny. And the terrible food they served him in the bar. I don't know how sharp Mike was.
He kept going back. I feel sorry for him. I feel so bad for him. He just wanted to be friends or something.
Yeah, they told the police. Oh, and also one night Mike came out after all this other stuff with the food and the drinks and a taxi hit him. And so the police said, okay. So that's why the police then go and they dig up the body. They discovered that an insurance claim has been made. They arrest Tony. Tony rats out everyone else involved. They're all put on trial. They're all sentenced to death by the electric chair. The taxi driver got life in prison. The doctor who signed the death certificate was fined $10,000, which a lot of money. So
why?
Because he signed he didn't know Mike was dead.
Well, they could have done that. They didn't have to kill him to force him to do that. I feel like they could have done that from the start.
That's true too.
Oh, these idiots.
So there you go.
That would have had to be in dead though, would they have? Would he have to?
Well, no, if they forced him like without seeing the body because they buried him.
So that's the tale of Rasputin of the Bronx.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's a sad tale.
Mike Malloy from Donegal.
Did he have kids?
No, I don't think so. And thanks to Orin O'Halloran from the We the Irish podcast. He did the research for that.
Good man.
Orin knows good stories like that.
Love it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
That's wild. That's a mad, mad story.
There you go.
That's a movie.
Yeah.
A movie in that. Easily.
An Oscar winner.
Mad shit. Fuck. What's the moral of the story? Don't be eating gone off
oysters.
Don't
be taking 3 points.
Yeah.
Oysters dipped in fucking what?
Methanol. Yeah.
Don't be doing that.
Gone off oysters. Gone off sardines.
And if you get a sambo with nails in it, don't go back to that place.
Yeah.
That's grim though, isn't it? Like, Jesus Christ. Poor Mike.
Poor Mike. Poor Mike. And they were sentenced. Isn't it mad? The fucking electric chair. They were sentenced to death themselves.
It's only right.
Jesus.
Ruthless. In fairness, these lads.
Yeah. Nasty, nasty pieces of work, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what the moral of the story is. Just don't keep going back.
Be more efficient.
Like, why did he... Why would you keep going back?
A bit of naivety to him, is there?
Must be victim blaming here.
Free drink.
Maybe he was lonely and he knew the people there. I don't know.
Maybe there's more to the story that they were really sound to him as well.
There probably wasn't a lot of speakeasies if you were saying it was during Prohibition.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like the only place.
And they were giving him free drink, yeah.
And food.
Poor old Mike.
I'd be asking questions though if someone's giving me free food and drink all the time.
Still drinking.
People do give you free food and drink all the time.
There you go. We have to stop that.
It's a very good point. It's a very good point.
Did you enjoy that?
Is this the end of the episode?
Yep.
Oh, you loved it.
There's something bigger coming up.
What's coming up?
We're doing another deep dive.
Ooh, put your jocks on. Put your swimming togs on.
We're diving deep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Be no more wasp talk after this.
We're going to be taking some a very controversial character in history, recent history.
Yeah,
pretty recent. We've already begun the dive.
We have.
So we give you a tame one there to build you up for this madness.
Prepare yourself, ladies and gentlemen.
It's brilliant. It really is.
Yep.
Be with you soon. Next couple of weeks, it'll begin.
Many episodes are we talking?
We don't know yet.
3 or 4, I'd say.
Well, the first one took us about 2 hours, didn't it? We didn't think it was going to take anything like that.
I loved it. It's a character that I thought I knew a lot about, and in fact, I know nothing about him. Yeah. Oh, did I give it away?
Yeah.
Not too much.
You gave away his sex anyway.
Not too much. There's a lot more.
And that sort of stuff just builds up to another live show. Another opportunity for Joe to sing a song about a person of interest.
Yeah. I have no doubt that Joe will end up on Vicar Street singing a tribute to this person.
I love it. I already have an idea of the song in my head. Right. Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are too. So we'll talk to you next week, and the bonus episodes will be coming too. And if you have any questions around that you want to get off your chest, send it to Stala@goloudnow.com.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you when we talk to you.
Yeah.
Good evening, Mahagat. I guess Dullamachanish.